Good morning, everybody. Happy hump day. It is September the 15th. Why do I always like pause? Like, I just
usually I never update it, but the past 2 days I've been on my game.
You've been on your game as Gooch is over there killing flies. It is September the 15th, 2021.
Not sure what that was, bro.
It's 2021. It is Wednesday. I'm telling you right now, when we got in here today, we were just like, cool, Monday's over. Cool, Thursday's not till tomorrow. What are we going to talk about? But good thing that there's a lot of stuff to actually talk about today in the world of sports. The NFL is heading into week two. Lots of stuff going on. Sturch, Gooch, and of course, AJ Bascone behind the glass doing his thing, producing the show. Graphics extraordinaires these guys are turning into. I'm learning so much over the last couple of days just based off of their hard work and grinding along. While I'm just sending emails every day. that's my expertise. I send emails. So what do we got on the docket today? We'll talk about a couple things, NFL-related injury news. We also have our first ever overreactions from week one segment. So overreactions will be one of the main things we talk about today and going forward. You know, if you're in the middle of the week and you'd want to, check us out during the middle of the week and you don't want, we have nothing to preview and nothing to review, why not go back and take a look at week one? So where are we starting, AJ, up in this bitch?
So we're going to start with, I guess in Seattle, with none other than legend Josh Gordon. The NFLPA has officially recommended that Josh Gordon be reinstated as he has done the proper, requirements.
It is not, and I said this right before, I was like, it's not an NFL season until Josh Gordon gets reinstated. I feel like that happens every year. He gets reinstated, smokes a little weed, goodbye, you're gone.
Well, now that's not going to matter. I don't know if he can, because he's in the substance abuse program.
So right. So that's why I think it's illegal for him in particular to do any of the gunge, because I don't know. That's got to be, yeah. Now, you said it's from Seattle. Is he a free agent or is he a Seahawk?
Like, I think he's unsigned.
That's a good question. I think he's a
free agent. The last team he played for was the Seahawks.
I don't think anyone was giving him multi-year contracts.
Right. So I'm not sure.
At this juncture.
I'm not sure if he even has a team.
I'm not right now.
I mean, I'll take him too. What the hell? We just lost Michael Gallup. Why not? So anyway, Josh Gordon, welcome back. Well, at least the recommendation has been to welcome him back into the NFL. So maybe he will.
They're not going to be able to deny him the opportunity to work. Because he does go.
Are you available for work? Are you actively seeking work?
he's going to he's going through the necessary pathways to get back each time.
Right.
So if they put out a road in front of him, how to get back, and he does it,
they have no choice.
Let him back. Right. And especially with the public is kind of on the Josh Gordon side. I mean, for a guy that's messed up as many times as he has, he's really not really looked at by the public as a problem. I don't think any teammates,
because smoking weed is not like a problem.
Well, I mean, there's more to it than that in the early goings for Josh Gordon.
But okay.
Yeah, he likes his blunts.
He likes his blunts.
Josh Gordon's blunts is actually a dope.
Wait, time out. Instagram wait, post, I don't elaborate. What do you mean? Like he likes his blunts. What does that mean? I thought smoking weed is smoking a blunt. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not that I'm bad. Saying,
but no, before that, before the whole weed situation, like what he was actually dealing with was like real substance abuse.
Okay. So it was more than just weed. Okay, I'm sorry.
The subsequent mess ups, I think, a few of them were marijuana related. So he made his bed, and then the weed kind of kept
digging up old bullshit. Drugs are bad, kids. Don't do them.
During 2013, the guy had 1,646 receiving yards, 9 TDs, only 14 games. He did that all blacked out, he said.
Yeah, but you know what's crazy, though? What year really did you
funny.
Just say?
2000, not funny, but
2013?
Funny. That was not 8 years ago.
You know, he's almost a 10-year vet at this point.
Wait, was that his rookie year, 2013?
No, I think it was his second year.
Second year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway, Josh amazing. Gordon.
Josh Gordon, welcome back, bro. Let's do it. Anyway, what else?
Hold we got off there? A little bit on the weed.
Got a little bit of COVID news.
Oh, of course we do. Why wouldn't it be a day?
8 members test positive. I believe that it was 6 coaching members, 1 trainer, and 1 player. And guess who it is?
The guy that's not even close to the team right now.
And
that's
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Michael Thomas test positive. That won't matter for him. Obviously, the game itself won't be affected by this, apparently. This is what I've been reading as far as, them delaying any processes or look, this is, you knew this was going to happen throughout the course of the year. It just happened again to the Cowboys. Like one guy goes off, one guy goes on. It's just, this will be a constant thing until the NFL and the world itself, I'm not getting into a COVID battle here, but the world itself, until you adjust to this shit, you're going to keep dealing with it. And you're going to keep being very afraid of all this stuff.
I think in this situation, though, like, it's actually good news for Saints fans. It's weird as that sounds. Like, obviously, you don't want anybody to be sick. But as far as I've heard, all offseason and even the year before that, Michael Thomas wanted nothing to do with the team. And he was nowhere near the team. He wasn't answering phone calls. Now there's a guy that's out until week six or week five, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
After the bye, yeah.
After the bye. And he's got COVID because he's hanging out with all his coaches. What else do you want out of your guy that they're supposedly calling a malcontent and he's not happy there than to be hanging out with eight coaches? I think it's a good situation.
Good sign. In New Orleans. good sign for the Saints.
Let me say something. Chris, that was very nice of you. You are not a Michael Thomas guy. You do not apologize for him whatsoever.
I'm not a Michael Thomas guy. I'm a fantasy guy, and I'm not buying in on Michael Thomas.
No, he's the fantasy guy.
Well, I am a fantasy guy. He could be the warlord. Fantasy guy. I'm the fantasy warlord. But yeah, I'm not a Michael Thomas fan by any stretch, but for Saints fans, they could sure use a number one over there to help out with the offense, because as good as they played, they do lack that on offense right now.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it didn't seem like they lacked anything on Sunday offensively, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, so anyway, Rojo out of the doghouse. So apparently, Leonard Fournette got a bunch of carries against the Cowboys last Thursday. Ronald Jones fumbled that one ball, got punched right out. I believe it was DeMarcus Lawrence punched it out. Randy Gregory, one of those defensive ends, just punched it out. Normal strip. And he was just never to be seen again in that game. So I guess Bruce Arians kind of came to and said, well, this guy's our better back, right? At the end of the day, you're always going to take talent over a mistake, right?
I don't think this is a better back situation. I think that there's two good backs, and they're kind of similar skill sets. Fournette was running harder, I guess. You know, like, it's one of those
situations. I think he's a harder runner.
I get the fumble might have caused it, but last year, it was Fournette that was supposedly in the doghouse, and it wasn't a doghouse situation as far as Arians was explaining it. He said he sat him down because he was mad that he wasn't starting every game, and he said either buy in or don't. And I think that's what it is. These guys just won a Super Bowl. There's talent there. They got to spread it around. One day you'll see Fournette go off. It happened last year. Fournette had like 30 rushes.
Yeah, playoff
150 plenty. Yards. Mm-hmm. And then the next week it was Ronald Jones that had all the touches. So I think you're going to see a lot of that all year. I wouldn't buy too much into. I know that it wasn't your words. It was basically AJ's that says doghouse, right? But I don't know if I agree with doghouse.
That's what I just read in multiple reports. So
I believe it.
Sources have said
I believe
doghouse.
Now I believe it. All but right, anyway,
now it is. Man. Wow, we're switching gears. Are we actually going to another sport? Is that what's happening next?
We're going to go to another sport after that. We're doing three sports today.
Imagine
we're
that.
Crazy. Nuggets extend Aaron Gordon. That deal is worth $92 million for 4 years. Christ.
It's like it's the norm now to give an NBA player $100 million. It just seems like... And again, I never got into it, these contracts, because I didn't really care to unless it affected my team. But like, I guess when you have so much money as a cap and so little players, then you could afford to do this kind of stuff and give every single player on your team. Do you think a guy like Aaron Gordon deserves $100 million? And I round up, obviously, but
I'm getting off of the whether I don't know that any athlete deserves the money they get, but... Let's be real.
He deserved to be the highest paid player in the Nuggets.
Here's the way I break down these NBA contracts, and I guess it lends to the point that you were making about having less players to pay.
Yeah.
So, of course, the NBA players are going to get paid more. But if they're not paying these players, who gets the money? The owners? Like, the players are the product. These are what the NBA contracts are. So I stopped getting surprised by it like 2 or 3 years ago and just accept that regular role players, who is a sixth man, is actually really crucial to your team. So
right. When
you have to build a team and you're building a championship team and you have the money to spend, you got to spend it on the guys. So is it too much for a guy with his stat line? I believe so. But he also bought into a situation where he wasn't going to be the second option even. He was the third option on that team. And when you're looking at Denver's roster, Denver has a really good team.
So he's the third best player on the team. He's getting $92 million.
He's the third best player
Michael
on the
Porter
team.
Jr., I would definitely say he's the third.
Yeah,
best
he's
player.
Like the fourth best player on the team. They got Jamal Murray, right?
Yeah, Jamal Murray.
The Joker.
We know about Joker.
What the fuck is his name? The guy that you just said, Michael Porter Jr. I forgot. And then him, who comes in off the bench. He kind of plays two different spots. He could play. He's a big guard. Or a small, or not a small, but like a good wing defender. Oh. And he's athletic.
And he's paid.
And he's paid.
He's paid for the next 4 years.
Aaron Gordon is that the guy as a Denver Nugget last year, even with the injuries they had, only averaged 10.2 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 2.2 assists in the 25 games.
Can you imagine that?
I understand, but I've – look – I understand the stat line, and that's why I look at it, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know. But then when you see a guy, he went into a situation and bought in. It wasn't like he went in there and was like, I need to do my numbers. He likes it there. He re-upped with them. I think that situation is going to play out well for them.
Respect to both of them. I feel like this is more – I feel like the Nuggets are almost building the Bucks of the West in a weird way, where they have a guy like Jokic. They don't have all these other superstars per se. They don't have the big three, but they have a bunch of really good role players that are going to create a really solid team for them.
Think about how much differently the playoffs would have went if Jamal Murray played. You agree, right? The Suns and that whole Suns and four thing, that wasn't going down that way. And I know Jamal Murray is not the best player in the world, but he turned it up in the playoffs the season before. Jamal Murray's a baller. That team is, I might put a little futures on him when I see the odds.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Stay in the NBA. John Wall, Mr. Dougie himself, right? Is this the guy that started the Dougie?
No, I think he was the guy that said, do the John Wall, do the John Wall. And then it was ch-ch-ch.
Oh, then who started the Dougie?
Like Soulja Boy or something?
Oh, I guess he didn't start the Dougie. But he's also trying to work out a trade and get out of Houston. Thank God. I'll take him. I'll take him real quick. I mean, obviously.
And you could have him. That's typical.
You don't like John Wall?
An aging John Wall.
An aging John Wall.
You do not want John Wall.
No, why would we want John Wall, Dave?
We got Kemba.
Yeah, we got Kemba.
I know. I'm a big firm believer in Kemba Walker. I don't want John Wall. I'm just saying. Whenever anybody becomes available, I'm like, the Knicks can use him.
Like, Kemba is also not it. And John Wall is a older, more beat up version of Kemba. John Wall was a beast. I used to love John Wall. You know what? But he's just not John Wall the same anymore. He's not the John Wall of old.
Now he's just old John Wall.
Old John Wall.
I had the pleasure of serving John Wall in my seafood restaurant.
Pause.
That in Miami. And what?
I finally get to use it, so why not?
That man was a ladies' man to the nth degree. Just he asked me to bring chicks over to his table for him.
And can I get a Coke, a little lobster, and that girl over there? Can you grab that girl over there? Bring her over too. That's too funny.
Murdering crab legs. All right, let's continue forth.
Baseball. We're up baseball now. Look, the Yankees won a game yesterday. They win one today. That's called a winning streak. But I will say, no, it's actually they win two in a row. Then if they win one after that, that's called a winning streak. But the Yankees and the Blue Jays right now are in, I guess they're the 1-2. And then the Red Sox, it says 0.0 games back. Are they tied?
Well, they're tied, and it's just on, I guess, percentage points.
But even if.
So the Yankees are ahead of Toronto?
Yes.
And then the Yankees don't have the tiebreaker with Boston. They definitely don't.
No, not. I mean, that they evened it out during that stretch. No,
we played so bad. Early
I know. I
can't see how we have the tiebreaker over anyone for that matter.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the Mariners sit behind 3 games. The A's 3.5. So it looks like this wild card, a very, very good chance one of the wild cards comes out of the AL East, if not both. But the Yankees won a game yesterday. They tore the cover off the ball like they should against a bad Baltimore team. Again, you have to beat these shit teams. You have to. Those are the games you got to win. There's like 15, 16, maybe 17 games left. Now's the time, boys. If you want to surge, now's the time to surge because it's almost over. You know, and like teams like the Mets, unfortunately, as we switch over to the NL, they don't have any shot at making the wild card. They have to win their division to get into the playoffs. The NL wild card right now, the Dodgers and the Cardinals are in at the moment. The Reds are half game back. The Padres 1 game back. Phillies, the Mets are actually 4 games back of the wild card with about 15 to go. How many games back are they in the division then? If they're behind 4 in the wild card.
They actually have a better shot of making the wild card than the division. That's how good Atlanta has been as of late.
Oh, that's fun. I mean, that sucks. I mean, like, there's seven. I think I read on Ibby's thing, Till Mets Do Us Part, brand new podcast, dropped today, actually. So instead of tomorrow, they dropped today on Wednesday. Go check those guys out, Matt Ibanez, John Sapanaro. But they break down the NL wild card race. And I guess, with the Mets losing another game yesterday, with 17 to go, it is like you got to win. All right, so I'll break it down like this. With 17 games to go, right, the Yankees and the Mets, let's do a little survey here. For the Yankees to win, or the Yankees to at least get one of the wild cards.
You have to win every day.
That's so 17 in a row.
They don't, but you get what I'm saying? Like, they have to win every day. They have to win every series. They can't look at
I'm
it
saying, like, what's the minimum amount of wins out of 17 games that you can see them still making the playoffs?
Honestly, you don't know because it's such a small sample that any of these teams could get hot. Unless Boston and the Blue Jays play each other again, which they might.
They might.
Yeah, we need to win every game. And I'm not saying that they absolutely have to, but you do have to take that approach into it.
Yeah, same no, for the Mets. It's a gotta-have-it mentality.
This is playoff baseball already. Point blank, period. That's why you saw that energy out of the Yankees and the Mets the other night. Not just because it was a Subway Series. Even less so because if it was Subway Series. Like, that shit really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, these teams are fighting for playoff spots, and the playoffs start now for both of those squads. No question about it.
I'm excited. This is where September gets a little heated up, and this is where, you know, baseball becomes relevant again to those who weather the entire 162-game season. You know, this is where it starts getting really, really good.
Dude, yesterday it was Blue Jays overtook the Yankees, or 2 days ago. On Sunday, over the weekend, I think Blue Jays overtook the Yankees for the first wild card.
Three days later, the
Yankees overtake, but then the Boston's tied with Toronto. So, like, we're all right there.
Yeah.
A game, that's why you have to win every game. Mm-hmm. Because we're right there. One game could be it.
Are the Yankees built to win every game right now?
Like, yeah, they're built the exact same way, if not more talented than they were, more healthy than they were when they won 13 in a row. So, yes, they have the ability to do it. It's just, are we going to get it done?
Got
to
string them together. We'll find out.
Hopefully they don't completely shoot their load going into the postseason.
Correct.
And catch that fire.
Correct. Before we get into the overreactions, I do want to say something that I read yesterday that interests you in particular, Chris, because you host the Chop Heads MMA podcast. There is rumors swirling around, and I know we don't have like a fancy graphic or anything like that for this one because last minute, last thing that I saw. Do you think that this new rumor of a new league per se for mixed martial arts? Is a good idea? Do you think it could stand on its own? Do you think it's... I feel like MMA, there's a lot of, like, quote, minor leagues. Like, I was a big fan of, like, World Series of Fighting. You know, like, WSOF. I was a big fan of those guys. They you knew they weren't going to hold because of, like, the competition just gets plucked by Bellator and UFC. And even Bellator, to me, I feel it's a bunch of cast-offs.
World Series of Fighting isn't gone. It's not called that anymore.
Well, what's it called now?
PFL.
PFL. All right, so they switched over to PFL.
So
but
those guys are... I'm going to... Just run it back because I get where you're going with it, right? So is it a good idea to do this? Yes, it's a great idea.
You saw all the specifics and stuff, yeah.
I didn't read completely who was involved, but they're saying influential people.
Well, not even that. I was talking about like the specifics of like revenue sharing and like, yeah, you know, all that. There's a players association of some sort.
All good. Now, there's a couple issues. One, you could have all the money in the world. You could have the most famous people in the world behind it. Unless you have the best fighters in the world teaming up and doing it and taking a stand. Here's the problem. Now, Luke Rockhold on an interview the other day said it best. He said, the UFC pays you just enough to keep you there, right? And then the minute you take a stand, they say, okay, don't fight until you go broke, and then you come back and you fight. So, like, they literally hold the keys here. If Conor doesn't do it, if Dustin Poirier, if the Diaz brothers, if all the names collectively don't get together and agree, like, we're going to put this shit on ice, the problem is there's too many guys that are hungry. You know, they're getting a worldwide talent pool. There's people that are suffering in other countries that would do anything to fight for the UFC. Go tell the Russian that's fighting on what you call the minor leagues, a regional card in Russia or the pro fighting organizations in Russia where they're not getting nearly as much money. Go tell it to those guys, you know, band together. That's the problem. It's not a national thing. It's an international thing. So to say they're going to have a league, great idea. 50-50 profit share, never going to happen, right? Never going to happen. Because with a league, you need teams. 30 teams, you have an owner of each team. The problem with fighters is each fighter is his own team essentially.
Right. So it's like independent contractor.
They're their own owner. They're their own entity. So it's really hard because people are living these day-to-day lives. They're working other jobs. If they don't fight, they don't get paid. You know, like they're working part time to get by. Fighting is where they make their money. Unless you get the stars behind it, it's just an idea. It's just a good idea that won't work.
Right. All right. Well, like I said, I'm excited. I know it was like a guy like Jay Devlin who said, like, you know, by putting UFC on every weekend or some kind of fight every weekend, it gets oversaturated. to me. I'm like the complete opposite side of that. Yeah. I think the more fights, the better. The more opportunities, the better. The undiscoverable become discoverable. You know what I mean? And like
the problem is like people are looking at this like, oh, there's no competition for the UFC. That's simply not true. There's been plenty of competition that's come along, and I'm not the biggest fan of the way the UFC does business, but I understand that it is a business. So They're not supposed to be like, you know what, we're going to do the right thing. It's like, is boxing actually doing the right thing? Because their boxers make a lot of money. Name the rich boxers. Only the stars. It's not like the middling guy that's fighting four rounds on an undercard is getting huge money.
Correct.
It's just simply not. So it's a difficult situation. I don't buy it. Go to 1FC if you want to fight and make more money. PFL, they give out $1 million if you win. So if you fight for the year.
And that's like a standings thing, like a playoffs thing. They have a league.
They're already trying to do the league.
Right.
Where it's like you
I win, think it's pretty badass. Advance, I'm not going to lie.
There's a playoff. But the reality is, guess what? There's no talent. There's some talent. But like usually what happens is if you're really good in PFL, guess what? As soon as your contract is up, you're like, UFC, here I am.
Right.
You know, it's the UFC is paramount. It's not going to change anytime soon unless, like I said, they strike. They're not going to do that.
We strike. All right. Well, again, I think it's more fighting, the better. We'll see if that actually gets off the ground. They said they were going to launch in 2023. So there's rumors swirling. It's nothing's confirmed. We don't have one person that is like, it's not like The Rock is saying like, hey, by the way, you know, I'm not only going to run the XFL, I'm going to run the XFC.
And honestly,
you
know what I mean? Rock is already kind of in bed with the UFC.
So. Well, that stupid belt that never saw the light of day after he gave it to I almost called him cornbread, game bread. You know what I mean? After that was done. Yeah, well, whatever.
That was for Jimmy.
What? Oh, well, what was? Oh, for drinking your big gallon on the air? That's fine. We're thirsty. We're parched. You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. All right, so let's get into it. The NFL week one is come and gone. We're into week two now. Tomorrow starts week two with the Giants and the Washington football team. We got to do some overreactions. I'm going to leave this up to AJ right now. Basically, give us the rundown, like run through some of these, and me and Gooch will chime in and you know, do the best we can with some of these overreactions. And you know what? It's not even like you're making these up. These are actually things that we're reading, right? Like, so this is not like, hey, is the sky blue? Well, I don't know. It could be gray. You know what I mean? Like, this is stuff that we're reading online.
I read ahead, and honestly, some of them I find to be insane. I know that we kind of rush this, but some of these, like, people that just write anything.
Welcome to the world of sports media. So go ahead, AJ. Roll them off.
Is Trevor Lawrence not as good as the world thinks? Is the Ravens' defense broken?
Let's do one at a time.
Is Trevor Lawrence not as good as the world thinks?
All right. So for me, from a standpoint, I will say that he's 50-50 right now because he threw three touchdowns, he threw three interceptions. You know what I mean? And the team lost to a bad Texans team. So now what's going to happen when Trevor Lawrence takes on a good team? You know, we'll preview their next matchup on Friday. But, like, that's alarming. Urban Meyer, he's got a lot to do with it. So I'm going to say to fade this one. Like, I'm not worried about that.
I'm saying that I was really high on Trevor Lawrence going into week one. And because he had a shitty game, I'm not going to bail on him. I say, yeah, he's absolutely every bit as good as he's supposed to be. And the only thing that I see as an issue for him is the organization he plays for and the head coach at the current juncture. Now, could we see a potential Sam Darnold type situation where you just can't succeed because your head coach sucks the way Urban Meyer does and what's the other guy's? Adam Gase suck?
Mm-hmm.
Potentially. But I think Trevor Lawrence is such a talent that he will eventually at least outshine that. And I don't think Urban Meyer lasts long anyway with losing over there. So hopefully for his case, for Trevor Lawrence's sake, Urban Meyer bounces sooner than later. But yeah, he is absolutely a stud.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so next one we're going to talk about is the Ravens' defense broken? We saw that Monday night they really struggled during the second half. What are your guys' thoughts on that one?
I want to say that they're like physically actually broken with the loss of, you know, their main star corner, Marcus Peters. I believe they just restructured Humphreys' contract today, as a matter of fact, or last night. I don't think they're broken. I just don't think they played their best game. I think their better weeks are in front of that defense. They have the talent. They have the defensive front. They have the secondary minus Peters. They have a decent defense. I don't think they're broken. I just think they were kind of starstruck on a big stage in front of a massive crowd, in front of a new stadium, and they had no answer for a Darren Waller. Now, will they have an answer for the next guy, which is just so happens to be Travis Kelce? I don't know. You know, we'll find out. But I'm sure they're all professionals there. They can figure this out, and they can say, like, all right, you know what? We'll be fine.
They are possibly broken because they're obviously banged up. I'm not going to react to the week one loss to the Raiders in the new stadium. I was kind of on the Raiders. I didn't put any money on it, but if I had the gun to my head, I would have said the Raiders. The coaching staff had their hands full because Marcus Peters didn't tear his ACL a month ago. He tore his ACL 2 days before the game, so they didn't really have time to piece it together. It's a rare time to deal with an injury like that of that nature because usually they happen in games. You know, it's not like Thursday before the game you're going to deal with some crazy player getting hurt.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to give the pass there, and I'm not really one to give many passes in the NFL because – a loss is a loss. But the fact that they went and played a determined Raiders team who, like we were talking about yesterday, has potential to be highly underrated in their home opener in a new stadium. Yeah, I mean, like, they just ran into a tough situation, unfortunately.
Nice little buzzsaw. Go ahead, so, AJ.
Next topic of discussion, are the Bills going to regress this year?
You said that earlier, like way earlier.
I don't know that they're not going to win their division, but they're going to not win 13. They're not going 13-3. Or 13-4, or 14-3. Not sure which way you want to slice that. But the Bills would be a little bit worse. You have Josh Allen had an all-world season. He signed a new contract. Yes, AJ, I'm stealing your info because AJ brought up a great point yesterday when we were talking about.
At least
you're
giving him credit.
Yeah, we're talking about Josh Allen, and he said usually you get all those rushing stats, and then the quarterback signs the big deal, and they kind of fall back a little bit, which I think will take a lot away from that offense and Josh Allen's game, specifically their running game, because Devin Singletary did play well against a tough defense. I got to give him that. Mm. But I'm going to need to see more of that. Their running game hasn't been there as good as they've been over the last 2 years. Stephon Diggs had a career year last year. He played, 8 years in the league at this point? Mm-hmm. By far his best season. So you got to expect some type of statistical regression there. Back to the mean. So, yeah, I just don't see them being as good.
The Steelers are a good defense. You know, they're going to struggle a little bit. I don't think anybody in their right mind said that the Bills were going to come out as flat as they did. But they did. And I think this is a very similar situation with the Bills and Green Bay, where they didn't get off on the right foot, and then nothing worked. You know what I mean? Like, everything just, the wheels fell off, the game went out of hand, and you lost, and you got to put this game a little better than the Packer game. The Packer game, you want to throw the entire film out the window because none of it's relevant. But with the Bills, I think Josh Allen's too good not to succeed, and I think the defense, and I like the head coach. I don't, like, to me, regression, I'm not even looking at record. I'm thinking, like, they should be in, like, the second round of the playoffs regardless. You know what I mean? Like, are they going to get back to the AFC title game? That we're going to have to wait and see. But I guess if they don't make it to the AFC title game, then they regressed. You know what I mean? That's math.
Let's go to Arizona, where people are saying that the Cardinals are potential Super Bowl contenders this year. What do you guys think about that?
Boy, that escalated quickly. You know, like, what? Like, defense looked great. Kyler Murray looked super mobile. You know, he's got the best receiver in football, one of them at least. You know, like, the offense is good. I don't know if they're contenders to go to the Super Bowl. I'm not jumping on that bandwagon at all.
I'm going to say they're not contenders because of the division they play in. I don't know that they're going
to... Yeah, they got to get out of there first, even to get to the playoffs.
They might very well finish last in their division, and that might be by default because that division's really tough, but...
And that might be an 8-win team.
Contenders, bro, they're 1-0. You know, I had their coach on the hot seat last week. You know, I'm not going to annoy the Super Bowl contenders yet. They surprised me a little bit, and, you know, it could be Wolf tickets, but they played well.
Okay.
Very nice. Super Bowl well, but
all right. Scoop is in the house. He said they're contenders for a wild card. So that you can get behind. You can get behind that idea. Yeah, but I don't know, four teams are coming out of the West. You can't do that, right? There's four divisions. Actually, three wild cards can come out of the West, but I don't foresee that happening at all. So we'll see. They're contenders. They're not there yet.
Next on the list is that Jalen Hurts is the guy in Philadelphia. Chris, let's hear it.
You already know my opinion on Jalen Hurts. I've been talking him up for the past, I guess, 10 days. I wasn't fully in on him. I really didn't do a deep dive into the situation. But the players, you know, I know that you had a lot going on with the Jalen Hurts, how they're fucking with his psyche and things like that. But if you ask the players around that locker room, they don't kind of – they believe in him 100%. Seeing a lot of the guys talking, and Jalen Hurts, bro, he's athletic. He's bigger than we thought, right? Just looking at him in the uniform. Last year, he looked kind of small. Now he looks like he's a little more filled out.
He's walking a little higher.
Yeah, he's got that confidence. And they built the offense around him now, as opposed to him coming in and not knowing if he had the job. And now it's his. Yeah, he's 100% the guy.
I've come around to the fact that we're, you know, all preseason, I don't think they did him any favors. I don't think they did him any favors at all with the trade for Gardner Minshew and, you know, having Flacco there and to just have all these guys that could potentially start. I'm not saying they're better or they should start. I'm just saying there are former starting quarterbacks right behind you. But after seeing them play the Falcons, yeah, they trounced the Falcons. Falcons are a bad football team. But, like, you just saw the camaraderie between the team. No matter who they're scoring against, they're still scoring. And you could see it in his eyes and see it on the sidelines. Jalen Hurts is the future of the Philadelphia
Eagles. I think, you know, not enough stock goes into the fact that when you get a veteran to push a young starter, like, I feel like you said something to me. What team were we talking about yesterday when we were like, they should have brought in a vet?
The Jets.
The Jets. Well, Philly did that. They brought in a guy that they felt like might push Jalen a little bit, and maybe that has something to do with it, but I just think that he's a good player. I really do. I think that his draft value went down because of the way his college career played out, but Jalen Hurts is a gamer for sure. Yeah. I believe Jalen Hurts is the guy.
Truth. Is the Indianapolis O-line in trouble after last game?
Carson Wentz was on his back a lot. I think I said it when we were all sitting here watching the games, and I said, every time you look up, Carson Wentz is down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Carson took a beating, and I don't foresee – offensive line was one of their strong points, bro. You know, and that's why getting traded there might have been a beautiful thing for a guy that gets rocked.
Well, we're talking – I don't know, man. Their offensive line, I think, will be fine. I think really for that offensive line to play well, they need to get the run game going because then they get their confidence together. You ask any lineman, any guy that ever played offensive line, their favorite thing to do is run block. And Seattle blitzes a lot. I learned this from the Sauce. The Sauce switched his bet off of Indianapolis last minute because he learned how much Seattle's defensive line and linebackers blitzed. So they probably won't face that much blitz. Granted, Seattle's front isn't as great as you expected, but week one, there's a lot of things to sort out. I think they're going to be fine. They're too talented. They've had a great body of work. They've been together for a long time. Yeah, the Colts line, I wouldn't worry too much.
Okay. I'm with it.
Are the Packers going to struggle this year?
No.
That one first.
In games, yes, they will have some struggles because it's the NFL, but ultimately, do you really see that division as anything of any team in that division as a real threat to
and
that?
that's my biggest point of why I don't think this is at all like a concern is because of who they play in that division.
I think Green Bay's schedule is hard. They play the AFC North as their crossover, and they got to go to Kansas City for their other extra game. So there's some tough games on that schedule. Plus, you look at the NFC matchups. I don't know if we play Tampa off the top of my head. I can't remember. But regardless, that's a tough schedule. So they're going to have their hands full in some games. Obviously, like, there's concern. I'm a Packer fan. Like, I want to say, yeah, we go into Detroit and we're going to win the game. But could you imagine?
I was just going to say, you want to talk about overreaction. Now, there's a big if. If the Packers, for whatever reason, go home, open up their stadium for this campaign of 2021 and throw up another stinker, what's your first knee-jerk reaction? I'm not saying I don't even think it's a possibility, but I'm saying, what would be
looking
that?
Looking at the points, bro, it's like the Packers ain't losing this game.
What's the spread of that game?
It's like 12 and a half.
Yikes.
And rising, I want to say. Yeah. But yeah, I just don't see Green Bay losing to Detroit at home on a Monday night to open the stadium, blah, blah, blah. Not going to happen. But Are they going to struggle? Maybe. I don't know. I need to see, just like any other team that I'm talking good or bad about, I don't want to bring my bias into it and just be like, no, they're not. I need to see more out of everyone. And until I see something, I have to temper my expectations a little bit.
Okay. I'm with it. But no, I, as far as what I think, struggling maybe in spots, maybe like I said yesterday, and I think I said this yesterday, or at least maybe Monday when Jimmy was here, do the Packers have... I know they have the same guys as they did last year. The Vantus Gantlings, the Lazards of the world, the Tanyans. They even add Randall Cobb. But, like, outside of Davante Adams, bro, I have a hard time getting behind these other receivers. And, again, I know they succeeded last year, so it kind of makes no sense. But, like, 1 year removed from that, it's like I felt like Rodgers had a hard time finding anybody else besides Davante Adams. And that might be a thing going forward. I don't know.
I think a lot of it had to do with the Saints played great in coverage, bro.
Like, you can't take really that away from them.
And it could be the receivers aren't up to snub. But also, we're missing linemen. A makeshift offensive line, I think, played a factor. But really, nothing worked. So I'm not going to say it's on the receivers. I'm not going to say it's on Rodgers. I'm not going to say it's on the offensive line. The defense couldn't cover. Nobody tackled well. Everyone was open. So I'm just going to, like we said before, like you said, like I said
chuck
yesterday,
yeah,
got to throw this one away. Right. We'll see how it goes. I buy in on the receivers. I'm with it.
Okay. All right. So let's go into the Chiefs. Now, can anybody stop the Chiefs? I want to talk to you about this, Dave, first. As you saw in the game the other day, they did struggle in the first half, but the Chiefs that we know and love came through in the second half. How do you feel about this, Dave?
I think that the first week for every team, the other outside of the Saints, who had this the biggest lopsided margin of victory for week one, outside of that team, every other team kind of struggled a little bit. Even the world beating Tampa Bay Buccaneers were on the ropes against the Dallas Cowboys, and that spread was 9. So like nobody really had anybody, you know, beating the brakes off a team. The Chiefs, no different. I don't think they had their chances. They took their chances. They struggled a little bit in the beginning, but once they got rolling, man, it's hard to stop that team, especially when you have a Patrick Mahomes who could just do so many, like, improvising things. Like, how many times is he going to throw a fastball, like, underhand? You know what I mean? Like, he just do so many crazy things. I think Kelsey's the best tight end in football. Their run game, you know, it doesn't really scare me much. Edwards-Helaire, he's not your power... You know, give that boy the ball like 25 times, kind of running back. Hopefully they have a couple guys that can supplement him. But that passing attack is ridiculous. Even the bad passes, they make big plays. Like the Tyreek Hill caught a fair catch and took it to the house. You know what I'm saying? So that's how good this team is, where they can make mistakes and still score touchdowns. I think the Chiefs are going to continue to roll and starts, you know, it continues this week.
What about you, Chris?
Yes, but not really. Like, they can stop them, but also not really. Like, Cleveland stopped them all game. But then, did they? Because late in the game, and I don't know, you're not going to face many better defenses than the Browns. The Browns are definitely a good unit. But the Chiefs have been doing it for now, going on their third straight season, where they've just been an unstoppable force on offense, particularly in the fourth quarter. So, yes, people could stop them, but you really got to bring it for 60 minutes against that team, obviously. I don't want to sit here and state the obvious. So, will they be stopped often? No, but can somebody, like in a literal term? Yes.
Okay. You know? Word. Let's move on to the next one. I find this one very interesting, especially after getting a win in New England. The Dolphins, are they making the next step this year? Are they going to make the playoffs this year?
I think so. I picked them as a playoff team. I think that coaching staff in by itself is enough to get this team to the next level. I like their running game. I like Tua. Tua to me is not ever going to light up the scoreboard. I don't think he's that quarterback. I don't think he's given, like, there won't be enough yards underneath every pass. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to be like, I can't believe the error assault that these guys have. He's not that guy. I don't think he's that guy. He reminds me of like an Alex Smith, where it's like, he'll make the plays. He'll get it done. He'll run a little bit. He'll manage the shit out of a game to a win. That's where I think Tua is as far as a talent. The defense plays well, better corners than one of the better tandem of corners in the league. This Dolphins team is going to give people problems. I love the coaching staff. I think they're making the playoffs.
Yes, they're. I mean, it depends on what you say. Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't believe they will. I think that they are not going to get worse. They're not going to be a worse team than they were last year, but they were 2 years ahead as far as I'm concerned on a rebuild, so I don't think they're going to regress. I think that they're kind of just level out and be where they're supposed to be at this point with all the trades that they made a season and a half ago. just looking at the teams that I think are in competition for where they're going to fall, I don't think they overtake Buffalo, even though I think that there's a regression there. The Patriots are in the division. That's another tough game that they have. But I look at the NFC, the AFC North, and I see three playoff teams in that division. I look at Pittsburgh. I look at Cleveland and Baltimore. Baltimore is probably as the most likely to fall, but at the same time, I'm not going to put Miami over Baltimore just yet. But the Chargers, and then you got even the Patriots. Like, those are the teams that you're looking at. So,
and those Broncos.
Miami's right. It's a crowd. It's a crowd.
It's definitely crowded, but I believe in the Chargers a little more than I believe in the Dolphins, and that's strictly because of the quarterback play.
As he's basically tipping his hand of where he's going with the Chargers-Cowboys pick on Friday. But, hey, that's just, well, you know, that's another thing.
I just like Justin Herbert.
I like him too. I think he's good.
I own him in two fantasy leagues, so that's why I'm
Then I totally.
I don't own Tua. I didn't draft Tua in the sixth.
No stretching there. Last one. What do we got?
Last one of the day. It's one that we've talked about before. Are the Vikings going to miss the playoffs again this year?
We don't even have to touch on it. Yes.
Yes.
All right. We all thought that the Vikings were going
to
suck this year.
I thought they were going to fall off the face of the earth. They lost to the Bengals week one. This team is falling gracefully. Maybe not so gracefully. I don't know.
Pretty normal take.
Yeah. So that's that. But overreactions. I'm making an executive decision as we get closer. This is like Wednesdays were the tough ones for us. We feel like, wow, what do we do? What do we do? Thursdays. This is where I'm going to need the expertise of both the fantasy warlord and the fantasy guy himself. On Thursdays, what we're going to do is obviously we'll preview tomorrow night. We got the Washington football team taking on the New York Giants.
I'm curious to know what the executive decision is.
Hey, this is going to be good. I think it'll be great. I think you're going to like it. Friday, and I wrote it down because I was like, this is definitely a good thing. Friday, obviously, we'll do our entire, you know, game picks with all the NFL previews, week two, all that stuff. Tomorrow, because I need help with this because I added some players. In fantasy football, I was able to get a couple nice little steals on the waiver wire. Thursdays are going to be set my lineup Thursdays. Set my lineup. This guy or that guy. This guy or that guy. Because we really don't have a show for that because Friday we're going to be picking the games itself and then we don't talk again until Sunday right before the game. I think Thursday's a good hard day to do that.
Because
it's already a week. You know, we're into the week. Now we have a lineup to set. You're not going to make any adjustments based off
typically
injuries.
What I do for the lineup, so is like I'll just say, okay, this is my rankings. So if you have a question, refer to the rankings. And like we go through the kind of how I did with the free agent pickups. But what I didn't do yesterday was I didn't list them all on one list either. So that's what I guess I would do for this because when you have a flex spot, you don't really know. It's like, okay, well, I know who you rank in the receivers, but what if you're between a wide receiver and a running back? And I guess those are the types of questions we could answer.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a decent executive decision. So.
I just got to see what kind of graphics I have to figure out for it. That shit might not be. If we're working on tomorrow, it might be tough, but we'll figure it
out. We'll figure it out. We always do. All right, so there's four new podcasts to drop. AJ, when the hell are we getting another fantasy guy?
We're getting one Thursday.
Like dropping tomorrow?
Dropping tomorrow, yep.
I love it. All right, so today we drop four new podcasts, All About the Star with yours truly talking Dallas Cowboys. You can check that out. You can check out Chart Choppers. We take the top 20 NFC South players as heard by Alan Austin. Be sure to check that out. I joined him as well because why not? I mean, I'm on every other goddamn podcast of his at least. And then we have a brand new episode of the goddamn Jets. They go over and they touch on the Panthers game and they give you a preview of the Jets home opener coming up on Sunday. Just Max Antonucci and John Saponaro. John Saponaro twice today. That's an unfortunate turn of events. John Saponaro you get twice today because he also dropped Till Mets Do Us Part. He's with Matt Ibanez. Is talking about the Mets and the final couple weeks of baseball and where they feel that the New York Metropolitans can go. So for this show, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and, of course, downloading, subscribing, sharing, doing all the jargon that we teach you to do and or tell you to do. Also, go check out the website right now, chopsportsmedia.com. We're going to get that link up today as far as on our social medias. Tomorrow we have the Washington football team taking on the New York Giants. We'll preview it. We'll get a game pick, but you're also going to be finally able to sign up with BetMGM through Chop Sports, and you're going to get a risk-free bet for up to $1,000. That's no bullshit. That's what Jamie Foxx is telling you all over the banners and stuff like that. So BetMGM with as the official sports book of Chop Sports. So for Sturch and Gooch and, of course, AJ from Behind the Glass, I want to thank you guys for listening, tuning in, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Week two, we're here.
AJ, if you ever put that bullshit or the Packers, what'd you put? Are the Packers gonna struggle? You're gonna struggle,
brother. Uh-oh.
Bro, if I'll meet you, Roy, boy, the fucking train tracks, and I'll put a needle in your fucking arm. I don't care!
I got it. One day I'm gonna figure out this inside joke. One day.